Ephesians chapter 3. Sometimes when I reflect on through the week and days of study, what I'm going to be preaching Sunday morning, sometimes I get a little bit confused as to what verse I'm in. And likewise, when I think about preaching Sunday afternoon, I get a little confused as to what verse I'm in. Because you see, Sunday morning we're in Ruth, the 3rd chapter, verse 11. And Sunday afternoon, we're in the book of Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, but verse 13. Thank goodness. Thank the Lord. On Wednesday night, we're in the 7th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Otherwise, my head would really be about to explode if it was the 3rd chapter as well. But Ephesians chapter 3, and having concluded verse 12 last week, looking at verse 13, wherefore, and you all know what wherefore means, and we'll have more to say on it, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Some blessed thoughts in that verse. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Wherefore? It's not why for is therefore there, but why for is wherefore there. Look back. Look back at what was previously said. Well, how far back are we supposed to go? Well, what immediately was previously said, and what was said further back, if it's applicable, and what was said even further back, if it's applicable. However, I don't see it being beyond the scope of the letter to the Ephesians. Because in keeping with the letter to the Ephesians, basically we could say everything that he has written to them to this point. But particularly what he has said concerning the manifestation of the gospel and the church. Paul making manifest the gospel and the church to them. And now turning the administration of that manifestation over to, in this case, the Ephesian church, but whatever churches he would have been saying like things to, it would have been turning it over to them as he did in Acts chapter 14. He left it in their hands then. He confirmed them, made sure they were sound in the faith, ordained elders, and then left it, the administration thereof in their hands. More specifically to the verse that we looked at last week, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. We are allowed to come into the holiest place. We read this morning of only the high priest being allowed to go into that most holy place. And that only once a year. And he had to come in in a specific way, with blood offered for his sins and then blood offered for the sins of the people. But we now have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him, by the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. He said, "Wherefore I desire," He said, "I beg, I pray you." What? "That you faint not." That you faint not. Do not become weak. Do not become spiritless. Do not become weary. Don't become exhausted. Where he told that to the Galatians in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Instead, he said, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." There he's talking about sowing and reaping. He's talking about bearing one another's burdens and considering first our own selves, lest we be led astray, led away. But he says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We're going to reap if we don't become weak and weary and exhausted. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, he said the same thing to the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13. He said, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing." He's talking about prayers and so forth and working, laboring in the physical realm, laboring and working in the spiritual realm. And he said, this is good. This is things that ought to be. This is well-doing. This is acting uprightly. These are things that God requires of us. He said, don't faint. Don't be weary. Don't grow weak. But here to the Ephesians, he says, "That ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." In other words, don't you become weak, don't you become weary, don't you become exhausted because you see my tribulations for you. Paul suffered great tribulation. Persecution. And he suffered all, why? So that men might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. For he knew that that was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So, all have to hear it. Not that all are going to believe it, but all have to hear it. And then God does the work. And even those who hear and never believe, His word hasn't returned to Him void. Because He also told us in the letter to the Corinthians that it was a savor of death unto death to some and a savor of life unto life to others. You see, that's in the Lord's hands for His purpose, for His desire. Paul suffered greatly in great tribulation. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Verse 22. He said, "Are they Hebrews? So am I." This is Paul speaking. This is Paul giving his credentials. He is a Hebrew. "Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors often, in labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft." He says, often he was near death. Well, we only have recorded one such instance in Acts chapter 14. But here he says, he was near death oftentimes. Wow. "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." 5 times he received 39 stripes on the back. Just makes me wince to think of it. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches." You see, while he turned the administration over to the churches, he still had a burden in his heart for those churches. To see him doing that which was right. To see him walking in the ways of the Lord. To see him growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, they were a burden. Continued to be a burden to him. And we read somewhat of that burden in his letter to the Corinthians. We read somewhat of that burden in his letter to the Galatians. And now we read that somewhat of that burden in the book to the Ephesians. He was determined that regardless of his personal sufferings and loss, that men should hear the gospel. We just read his resume. All that he endured. And he endured it so that men might hear the gospel. I've many times, as I read that 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, those verses, I think, here I sit, in my cushy home, in my cushy car, with my cupboards full of food, freezer full of food, what am I suffering? What am I enduring? So that men might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was determined. He'd give his life so that men might hear the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's concerning the thorn in the flesh, which some have speculated was his eyesight. I believe most definitely it was. According to what he told the Galatians in Galatians the second chapter. But he said, most gladly, therefore, because his grace is sufficient, whatever the problem is, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power, the miraculous power, the mighty power, the mighty strength of God, of Jesus Christ, may rest upon me. He was just excited to deliver the gospel, and then to see how God delivered his physical body through it all. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Well, how could he take pleasure in infirmities? How could he take pleasure in those five times receiving 39 stripes on the back? With a whip of 9 tails. Little metal beads in the end that ripped the flesh apart. 39 stripes of those. How could he take pleasure in being oftentimes near death? We know once he was dragged outside the city and they thought he was dead. Did I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake? That suffering hunger and thirst, being cold, being in perils in the sea. You know the saying, I didn't promise you a rose garden? Most Christians today think, oh, we're saved. We've been promised a rose garden. No, he said, you shall suffer persecution. If you're going to be a faithful witness for him. For when I'm weak, that's in the flesh, then am I strong in the power of God and His might. His power, His might will uphold me. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look what he says here. Verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. That's the way Paul felt about everyone whom he preached to, and God was pleased to save their souls. And they became members of the Lord's church. Paul said, you all are my glory, my joy. Yeah. Paul's got a glorious crown. Huh? Amen. To be cast at the feet of Jesus Christ. So he says, through his tribulations, that you might not faint at my tribulations. Through my tribulations, when you see my tribulations that I endure, and he did. We're going to read them in just a moment. He endured tribulations so that the Ephesians might have the truth, might have the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then the truth, the manifestation of the church. And you think about you and I. It's easy for us to put it in perspective, is it not? If you see me vigorously witnessing and laboring for Christ and suffering persecution, being beaten and left for dead and being whipped and thrown in prison, what would it do to you? Maybe it'd make us more bold, wouldn't it? Maybe. Because now we think, well, they might make fun of me. Yeah, the tendencies there is, they were human. They were just, no different than us. We're no different than they. There was a likelihood that they would become weak, weary. And seeing that, well, I don't know if I want to be the witness that Paul is. I don't want to suffer like he did. Paul's concern for them? See the labor, he said, the care daily of the churches? You see it coming out in the letter to the Ephesians? Turn with me to the book of Acts. In chapter 19, and several months ago, we were in this chapter in Sunday school, several months ago. But verse 1, and we're going to, I don't know, we might end up primarily reading most of the chapter. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost, since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter how you expound this particular verses that we just read to you or not. The fact of the matter is, they were baptized in the Lord's church. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came to them on them, and they spake with the tongues and prophesied. So the Gentile churches received the Holy Ghost the same as the Jewish church did in the book of Acts chapter 2. That was the church baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Gentile church baptized in the Holy Spirit, which enabled them to speak in tongues and to do miracles and wonders, portraying that they had the power of God resting upon them. And all the men were about 12. Well, it was a big congregation, wasn't it? A lot smaller than the Jerusalem church, huh? See, there's only 12 men here. Doesn't say how many women and children, but there was only 12 men. So if you add a wife to each man and one child to each family, you end up with, could be 36 here in the Ephesian church at that time. Now it grew. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. You see, it had to be some disputing going on. Some weren't receiving it well. They were disputing with him about it. But when divers were hardened, that is, some, or certain ones, when some were hardened, or certain ones were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now you're going to read about what was encountered there at Ephesus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. Some being hardened and disputing with him. And this one, Tyrannus, in the school of Tyrannus, continued on this disputing with him and preaching the truth for a period of 2 years. So that all they which dwelt in Asia, which was where Ephesus was, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. See, even though there was disputing going on, the word of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was being preached. And there were folks who were hearing it. And God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs of aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So you see, he was dealing with folks with evil spirits. And yes, evil spirits exist today. And men and women are possessed today of evil spirits as well. But when the power of God comes to them in salvation through the preaching of the gospel, those evil spirits are cast out. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, they dealt with exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirits answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Now look, it's beginning to tell you a problem is beginning to surface. What do you think it is? It's beginning to surface. We got people today money hungry, huh? Well, they had people then that were money hungry too. You see all this being discarded and burned, and the price of them. You see the price of it? Look. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." See, Paul already is having the desire to go to Jerusalem. And that desire continues through the end of the chapter, into the next chapter, and then into the next chapter. So he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season and had dealings with the Ephesians. And the same time there arose no small stir about the way. See the trouble that was brewing? For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. When he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, "Sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth." And it was a lucrative business for them, because all Asia was given over. I'll continue reading. It tells us all Asia, all the world was given over to this worship of Diana. "Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus but almost through all Asia that Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. You see, they weren't concerned about the worship of Diana as they were the money that they were going to lose by people being converted to Christianity. They saw a big loss coming. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. You see? And Paul is talking about this to the Ephesians in his letter to the Ephesians. They witnessed that. The Ephesian church witnessed his sufferings. They witnessed his persecutions. They witnessed the labor with which he labored so that they might have the gospel and receive the truth, the manifestation of the church. And he's concerned for them, that they'd not faint, that they'd not grow weary, that they'd not become weak. Simply stated, Paul was willing to suffer and even give his life so that others might hear and know the truth as it is in Christ. This was glory for them, he said, and for him. If you look with me again at 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, in verse 6, he said, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." Now, Paul endured much affliction so that the Thessalonians could receive the word. But not only that did he, but the Thessalonians, receiving the word, received much affliction. But he says, they did it with joy. With joy of the Holy Ghost. With joy of the Holy Spirit of God. Bearing witness with their spirit that they are a child of God. I'm saved. Doesn't matter what man does to me. I'm going to glory. To be with the Lord. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. The much affliction that was talked about. The Thessalonians receiving the word in much affliction. In verse 5. But the Jews, this is at Thessalonica. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So Paul talking about the much affliction that the Thessalonians received for receiving the word. Here we have an example of it in Acts, the 17th chapter. Drawing Jason out of his house, drawing others out, drawing them before the magistrates, persecuting them, railing on them, and riling. Listen. We as believers, we've already looked at the fact that we're not to be weary, we're not to faint, we're not to become weak. The opposite of that would be to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of grace. But consider this as well. We will not, if we're the Lord's, we will not grow weary. We will not faint. At least not persist in that state. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, Paul in the preceding chapter talks about the ministry that he has. All those that are the Lord's have a ministry, this ministry. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He didn't say, like he said to the Galatians and to the Ephesians, faint not. He said, we faint not. See the difference? That is a sure thing. We'll not faint if we're truly the Lord's. Look at verse 16. After he said about the light, God commanding the light to shine out of darkness through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16. He said, for which cause we faint not. Why? Because we're His. He's commanded the light to shine. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. It's not in, you know, we tend to grow weary. We tend to start to faint when we take our eyes off of Jesus Christ and we set our eyes upon things. Things of this world. I do it. I'm guilty. I experience it too. But as I'm looking to the Lord and trusting the Lord, don't faint. Well, Lord, okay, you know all about it. You take care of it. Right? He said, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, here's why we don't faint. Because it doesn't matter if our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Yeah? That new man, that's in here, he's renewed daily, every day, continually, all day long, he's renewed. Why? It's the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us. Jesus Christ in us. As we, this flesh becomes strong in the Spirit as we give ourselves to the Word and to prayer and to study of the Word. He says, now I like this. I read to you Paul's afflictions in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, here in the fourth chapter, just seven chapters before that, he says this, for our light affliction. All that Paul endured, he says, is our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, see what I was talking about? We get our eyes off Jesus. We don't look at those things which we see. We're looking at Jesus Christ. We're looking to Him. We're trusting Him. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Shall we stand? Be dismissed in word of prayer. Brother Ron, would you dismiss us, please, brother?
Upon us now as we go through this nursing home service.